Welcome to Resiliency Redefined. I'm your host, Robin, and I am thrilled to share with you information about resiliency, well-being, performance, education, business, parenting, and everything in between. I'm committed to joining you each week to talk about these big ideas and bring them into action, habits, tools, strategies, tactics that allow us to finally uncover what it takes to truly be well. And I'm just so excited that you're here. Hey everyone, this is Robin. I'm so excited that we are back again for this conversation. I do hope wherever you are that this is finding you well, feeling pretty well resourced for what you need to do today. And again, as always, thank you for taking the time to hit play. Again, it's not lost on me out of all of the episodes and things you can be listening to or doing. The fact that you signed in for this, I am very, very appreciative. And so is Apollo. If you happen to see this on YouTube, my faithful little buddy Apollo is here as well. He knows this is going to be just good 20 minutes of some positive energy we're putting in the world. So I'm so happy that you are here. So in our last episode, we took the deep dive into perspective and each of these different realms that I talk about in my work on everyday resiliency, having a different pillar. And today's pillar that I was hoping to unpack with you is all around acceptance. Now, in full disclosure, this is probably one of the areas in human resiliency that I personally struggle with because I think my humanness tends to show. I don't like what I don't like. And sometimes I get so stuck on just trying to make meaning out of things that maybe there's not meaning to be found. And what I mean by that is for a really long time, when I would think about acceptance, in my mind, it was connected with approval. That somehow if I accept it, it means that I'm okay with it. And the reality, a lot of things that we have to accept in our attempt and our efforts to be resilient requires us to work with things that are outside of our control, work with things that we do not like, that we do not approve of, that we do not want to have to stick handle. Yet, if we want to be able to show up in our lives, the reality is sometimes we just have to do it. And for all intents and purposes, it's the idea of like, you have to embrace the suck, right? There's things that we don't like, bad things are going to happen. We don't agree with it, yet we're willing to work with the pieces. Now, the reason why I think a lot of us, and I know I'm not alone with as somebody who doesn't find acceptance easy, is that many of us subscribe to what's called just world theory. Now, just world theory in psychology and sociology says this: if people do good things, then they should have good outcomes. So if you follow all of those golden rules, if you do all of the things you ought to do, should do, supposed to do, then things are supposed to work out for you because you've done the work. And the opposite is if you are somebody who makes poor choices and are like not treating people well, or perhaps like you're taking advantage of people, if you're dishonest, poor character, then you should have consequences, that you should have like bad things happen to you because of how you show up in the world. So that's called just world theory, that there should be a justice component to how the world works. Now, I don't need to tell you this, you know this. Terrible things happen to good people every single day. People who we would like to think that like karma is like, it's on like karma's list somewhere where people ought to have some consequences for like the blast radius of people they leave in their wake. We see it appears that they go through without any consequences. And even like to the point where like right now, for example, in the news, there's a lot about like a famous rapper who has done like just accused of doing these deplorable, horrible things. And then people ask, like, how do they get away with it? Like, how is it that these people are able to do this horrible stuff? Yet on the outside, it seems as if like they get away with it for years. Now, I do think eventually horrible people do have horrible consequences. And maybe we'll never see it, But I wholeheartedly believe there is a component to just world theory that does actually come into fruition. The reality is it might not just be in this lifetime. It might not be in this exposed way that you see it or know about it. But I do believe the world does, it does catch up to some people. Okay, so back on track. What just theory does say though, is that like we want it to follow this pattern, or we want it to like follow this rule where good things happen to good people and bad things might happen to bad people. That doesn't happen. We know that to be true. So for many of us, we are in this bit of like this, you know, frustration, or we feel this resistance, or, you know, almost this kind of difficulty reconciling the fact that like we did it for the right reasons, yet the outcome doesn't unfold the way we hoped it would. So that makes us accepting a lot of things really, really challenging because it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel just. And again, I appreciate so deeply for people when, you know, they just sit there and they're just like, you know, I don't want to accept this. Like, I'm not willing to accept this. I don't know maybe even how to accept things that don't feel okay. Yet what I see in this research, what I see firsthand is the people who get to a place of being okay have found a way through. They have found a way to, you know, decipher their controllables, figure out what's within their control, acknowledge what's outside of their control. And then they make these like daily decisions to coexist with the parts that they have to work with. So I can share with you one of the kind of newer places that I'm experiencing some acceptance. It was a massive breakthrough for me when I recognized that, you know what, I never wanted to be somebody who has, you know, learning disabilities, or, you know, I have ADHD or some of these other type of neurodivergent patterns. Yet when I stopped fighting this like injustice of being somebody who has these different types of learning experiences, and just put my energy instead of like wishing it away or trying to fight that this is my reality, when I leaned into finding resources, tools to understand it better so I could show up for myself to be able to work with how I need to work within the world, there was like this like grip that was, I didn't even realize was like choking me, that all of a sudden I felt relief. I felt relief for the first time in so long when I just accepted the part of me of this is what the learning experience is like for me. And I still get into moments where it's tricky, where I sometimes feel that little bit of resistance crawling back in, but that's part of the everyday resiliency of this. It's not that it's one and done. Part of our acceptance is working each day to reconcile the parts that we have to work with so we can show up and be able to do the good work for ourselves, for others, for our communities. So working with the controllable doesn't mean that we have to like what's happening. We recognize we are best served by embracing those parts, those maybe sometimes messy parts, those frustrating parts, and giving ourselves a little bit of grace and a little bit of spaciousness to work with them within our control. So again, when we think about this variable of acceptance, it's working within what's within our control. Now, one of the ways in my practice, I used to see a lot of folks and I would be able to kind of discern where they were at in their like journey and their like discovery of acceptance was the difference between people who would ask like the why questions. Why is this happening? Why did it unfold that way? Why did they get the promotion? Why did he do that to her? Why is this unfolding the way it is? And I remember being so confusing, like this being confusing for me, because they were coming to me looking for answers. Like they wanted me to say like, clearly your ex-husband's a narcissist, or like clearly that person wasn't hugged enough when they were a child. Like they were looking for an explanation to justify this thing, whatever that thing was. But the reality is I don't have the answers. And there are so many why questions that in this lifetime, we won't know the answers to. Now we can spend our time swirling in that unknown, trying to make meaning of things where there's no meaning to be found. And it's like kind of in this echo chamber, right? Where you ask that why question. And if you notice, you ask it over and over and over again. We're desperate to make meaning because we are natural meaning makers. But sometimes it's the surrendering that there isn't an answer to be found. Now, a really interesting parable that I heard, and this spoke to this kind of idea, especially when people of us like done us dirty or like people have hurt us. It was this idea about, okay, so imagine you're like out on a hike and all of a sudden a snake comes up and the snake bites you and you literally get bitten by a snake. there's going to be a difference between the people who like immediately like address their wound, right? They address their wound, they get the care that they need, and then they find a way through it. Then there's the other person, which I would really lean into and relate to at different times in my life, what would want to like chase down the snake and be like, dude, why did you bite me? Like, I'm really nice. Like, why did you hurt me? Like, can you help me understand what made you feel threatened in that moment that you thought that was your best choice? So like for a lot of time, I was that person that wanted to like track down the people that hurt me because I just wanted to understand why, versus recognizing that like the snake is just in their nature and I would be better served to like tend to my own wounds, like tend to get help that I need, not chase a snake to find out like, hey, why were you a snake? Why did you do that to me? So I use that example to just kind of help illustrate when we're chasing the why question, it's like likely not going to serve us well. Versus in my practice, when I had time when I was working as a therapist and people would come to me and they would say, Robin, this is my story, or this is what I'm experiencing. How do I move through it? How do I process it? What's my next right move? When people are in this like place of like forward thinking, not trying to like make sense of the past, but like looking forward, the energy feels different. And that's not woo-woo, it is science. We're energetic beings. All of our cells have these like little receptors. We're constantly picking up energy. And what I noticed is that there was this strength in the person who was wondering, what's my next right move? Where do I go? How do I put this down? Versus the person who would say like, Robin, why did this happen to me? My friends, I'm so sorry that some of those big things have happened in your life. And what I'm even more sorry about is probably the fact that you'll never get answers as to why. That hurts. That's hard. And my gentle invitation is to take that why question, write it on a wee piece of paper, fold it up and tuck it into your pocket, tuck it into your nightstand, tuck it in somewhere, and just recognize in this lifetime, we might never have that knowledge. We might never know why it happened. And that doesn't preclude us from a big, bright future. That we don't need to know that piece of information to be able to move on. We don't need to have the answers to be able to find ways to move forward. So that's that kind of idea of that kind of why question versus the how question, like what's my next right move? Now, in the spirit of, again, sharing just lessons that I've learned in the wild, and again, as a mother of three teenagers, a lot of my lessons I learned from the wild come from my children. They're my greatest teachers. I want to share with you this really interesting experience this summer. It was my biggest learning this summer. Like this one piece of information had that thing in my head switch where all of a sudden I saw the world differently. And it was because of something Hunter said to me at a basketball game. Okay, so let me give you a bit of context. So this summer, Jax was playing my youngest, he's not the littlest because he's literally like 6'6". My little one, Jack, 16, was playing AAU basketball in the US. And one weekend, Hunter and I decided, Hunter's my oldest, he's now 20. We decided that we were going to go to Cincinnati to see Jackson play. Now, leading up to it, it was quite a process to get me to my boys to be able to like get to this experience. Okay. I'd been in New York the day before and I had taken a flight at like, I think it was like at 5 a.m. So I landed in Toronto and like literally like Hunter and Jackson picked me up from Pearson and we like drove to Cincinnati. Now Jackson gets to Cincinnati and we leave him with the team because the team was already there. So we surrender Jackson. I'm so sorry. I'm rambling, but I promise this all has a point. We get Jackson to his people. We take off. Hunter and I do our own thing. So the next day we show up at the venue and we watch the warm up. And Jackson was there. And it's honestly so cool watching your kid do their thing that they love to do. So he's fired up. He's doing his thing. And at the end of the warm up, I noticed he put on his hoodie and his track pants and he went and sat at the end of the bench. And I turned to Hunter and I'm like, why is your brother not playing? And Hunter said, Mom, I literally just got here at the exact same time you do. I don't know why he's not playing. And then I said, I'll go find out. Now, I'm sure you can appreciate as a spectator, there's like a line you're not supposed to cross where like the trainers and the coaches and the players are. But I'm Canadian, so I was super polite about it. So I literally was like, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me. And I went to where you're not supposed to go on the other side of the court. I did walk around the perimeter, like, yes. So I'm over there and I reach out and I'm like, Jackson's on the end of the bench. And I'm like, hey, Jax, why aren't you playing? Now, the look on his face, I don't think that was excitement to see me. I think he was like mildly mortified that I was on the wrong side. I wasn't supposed to be there. And then Jackson looked up at me and he said, just very simply, I forgot my away jersey at the hotel room, the coach that I'm not playing. Okay, I don't know about you, but in that moment, like my like problem solver kicked in. I was like, name me, just give me the name of the hotel. I will find a way in. I will make a friend in the front lobby. I will get into your room. I will get you your jersey and you'll be able to play in the second quarter. Like, just give me the information and I will solve this for you. Now, Jax looked at me and said, you can't. No, mom, the coach said I'm not playing. Please go sit down. Okay, I'm feeling big feelings because problem solvers, we do not like to feel helplessness. Like helplessness is like one of the grossest emotions that I do not like to feel. And I was like smack in the middle of this massive moment of helplessness. And I don't want to feel that. I'll take anger. I'll take frustration. I'll take a lot of those hot emotions. Helplessness, it's just this degree of vulnerability, not my favorite. So I take that moment of helplessness. I respect Jack's wishes. I go back to the bench and I sit down. So I am in my feelings and they are big feelings. And I am in a mood in this moment. And then Hunter, my wise 20-year-old, said, hey, mama, can I offer you some advice? Now, I don't know about you. How open would you be in when you're in a mood to take advice from a teenager? Okay. So I was working with this moment to be like, okay, I can listen. I said, okay, Hunter, shoot. And he's like, mom, I need you to hear this because this is so important. Okay, so now he has my attention and I lean in. I'm like, okay, what do you need to tell me? He said, mom, this is going to be a bad hour. It's not a bad day. It's not a bad tournament. It's not a bad experience. And I promise you, this is not a bad life. It is just a bad hour and you just got to sit through it. And mom, I promise you, Jax will never forget a jersey again as long as he lives. Yeah. Hunter hit me so hard with this perspective and as well as acceptance. And my friends, something that I know to be true, you will absolutely have a bad hour. You're not having a bad day. You are not having a bad life. You're going to have a lot of bad hours. Now, my hope for you is you don't have too many of them. And my other hope for you is you don't let them take away the other parts that are happening in your life that are going really well. Except that sometimes you're going to have a bad hour. It's going to be awful. You're not going to like it. Sitting in helplessness, sitting in whatever that feeling is, likely won't feel very good. And I promise you, the perspective of knowing that this doesn't last forever. Even the good times, they don't last forever. And the bad times, they don't either. Things have seasons. Things have ebbs and flows. And sometimes just sitting there recognizing we're going to have a bad hour, it just makes it so much more it makes it so much more manageable to navigate it. So when we think about acceptance, we don't have to be okay with every part. And sometimes it might be daily decisions where we have to like find a way to like work with those parts. And you know what? Sometimes a little bit of like avoidance or ignore and override is not a bad thing. I'll give you another quick example just to bring this kind of land this plane. I remember the years after losing my mother, which was the biggest trauma that I could, like losing my person was a lot for me, and losing her, how I lost her, was just felt so cruel and unfair. But I learned very quickly that, for example, like Mother's Day, I just couldn't even go into a card store. I couldn't even like go into like Shoppers Drug Mart or a drugstore anytime around Mother's Day, because seeing Mother's Day cards, for whatever reason, it just like was more than I can handle. And so like, I just would avoid stores in May because I just wasn't okay. And again, I don't think that's a sign of weakness. I think it's like recognizing on some days, maybe you don't have it in you to accept or navigate or show up how you want to show up. Sometimes we just have to give ourselves a little bit of grace and just a little bit of that spaciousness to say, you know what, not strong enough to do this today. That doesn't mean I'm not going to take care of it one day, or it's not means I'm not going to go in a grocery store or a card store for the entire month of May. But you know what? I just don't need to put myself in this environment and avoid. Or other times, maybe you have this, you know, thought that comes up, that why question comes circling around, like, why is this unfolding? Why is it unfolding? And you know what? Just because you have the thought, that doesn't mean you have to action it. Okay. So sometimes just ignoring it and overriding it with something else, getting your hands busy, get into your body, get out of your head. Sometimes that ignore and override might be the kindest thing that you can do for yourself in that moment. We don't have to process everything every day all the time because there's a lot of stuff going on. And I appreciate that we have very full lives. So yes, when you're feeling well-resourced, navigate that acceptance piece. When you're not feeling as resourced, what I see in my work and how I support other people is like, be your own friend in that case and give yourself a bit of a break and not to push yourself where you're not ready to walk. So you're still here. Another 20 minutes. I am so appreciative. If you are watching this, you would see that we lost Apollo a little while ago. He bolted. Something very exciting was happening somewhere else in the house. But you are still here. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope that conversation about acceptance perhaps like sparked a new idea or maybe a new perspective. And if you found it helpful, I would love you to share it with somebody. I think we need to be hope dealers. We need to pass on this good ideas, these good energy to other people who need to hear it most. And if this spoke to you, if you want to pass it on to somebody else, I'd be forever grateful. And that cues us up for next episode where we're going to do like a super deep dive into the most precious variable that I think the world needs such a big dose of right now, which is hope. And I'm going to set you up to be hope-filled in every season in your life next episode. So please be sure to tune in, join me as we can continue to have these conversations about redefining resiliency. So to each and every one of you, thanks for listening. Just so glad that you're here. Take good care. Thank you for spending time with this podcast episode today. I hope you found something helpful in Resiliency Redefined. Please feel free to share it with somebody who you might think could benefit. Maybe there was something useful, something in particular that you think you could pay forward. Also, if you have a moment, please feel free to rate and review this podcast wherever you like to listen to your podcast. It means the world to me. And again, thanks for your time. Thank you for your interest. Take good care, and I'll see you next time.